Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, that is for sure. And I am Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 9th, 2011, episode 202, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Now, normally, Glenn, we would play that. It's my favorite Tuesday opener because it talks about how Tuesday has no feel. And, you know, waking up this morning and coming in and into the studio here and sitting down and doing the show, you know, I got to imagine that I'm not the only one who really feels like today, Tuesday has no feel. It's just kind of one of those days you kind of get up. And slug your way to the coffee, get a cup, you know, and then you're sitting down for work or whatever you're doing. And, my gosh, it's just kind of one of those days. But we're going to make it better for you.
Normally, it's your job to be late for the pre-show meeting, but Jennifer and I were like 5 minutes late, and we went, oh, you know what? The morning just got away from us today. It was one of those days. You're right, absolutely Tuesday. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties here. You know, it just goes with Tuesday.
Oh, well, you know, it's just going to have it can only go up from here, Glenn. Let's be positive. It's going to be a beautiful sunny day here in Phoenix, Arizona, with temperatures reaching the mild and balmy 115 degrees. So life is perfect. And you know what's really awesome, too, is that just to add to the beauty of 115, the mosquitoes have shown up because August is mosquito month here. And, oh, my God, I just love going out there and, you know, working with the horses, slapping the mosquitoes, wiping the sweat. Life is just great. I love it.
It's Tuesday. And on today's show.
Oh, that's for me.
Yes.
On today's Pfizer No Feel Tuesday edition, we will be enjoying a visit from the always informative and interesting Dr. Wendy Ying. We'll find out how she feels about the new show she and Glenn are hosting, as well as her feelings about chiropractic school. And in the blazingly fast-paced, non-stop excitement, edge-of-your-seat story that is Black Beauty, everybody's feeling pretty good, so expect change. And, of course, the European report is here, and we all feel pretty good about that.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer. And I've been holding out. I kept this a secret. This is my Daily Whinny. Normally, we share in our pre-show meetings what our Daily Whinny is going to be, but I kept it a secret from Jamie today. Because my Daily Whinny today is me eating humble pie. My Daily Whinny today goes out to my co-host, Jamie. And I'll tell you why you get my Daily Whinny today, Jamie. Because there were 23 comments on the whole issue of Black Beauty yesterday. When Jennifer said, dragging on like a bad case of strangles, that... Even my friend Dale, who does the radio show for Square Dancers, who knows nothing about horses, wants us to keep it. And I guarantee you he has never read that to his kid either. And then all of these comments, 23 people, all pretty much saying the same thing. I even had one person, who is this? That said, I'm looking for it, that said they even fast forward through the rest of the show to get to the Black Beauty part.
Yeah.
What is with that? And then they listen to that first. That's Betty Faye. Betty, you better damn well go back to the beginning then and listen to the rest of the show. That's all I have to say. And then Tom, who is part of Man Nation here at Horses in the Morning, says, at the risk of losing my man card, I can't admit that I like it, but don't tell anyone. Keep up the body count. Keep the body count rolling. Tom, oh, you're killing me here.
You know, I didn't tell you what my Daily Winnie was going to be either, so go ahead and hit mine.
I don't want to now.
This first one goes out to Laurie Higgins. She said, it is definitely worth the reread as an adult. I found out why I am the way I am because of it. I own several copies. If someone thinks it's going on too long or doesn't like it, they don't have to listen. Next. Emily Haas says, the Black Beauty reading is one of the reasons I'm listening to the podcast in order on my computer at work, even though it's a pain being tethered with my headphones. I can't wait to get my computer fixed, blah, blah, blah. Next.
I can't find the button.
Kathy Thistleswaite says, not everyone can appreciate a classic. Please carry on for those of us who do. This book endures over 100 years since it was published because while the topic is Victorian era, the themes of loyalty and humanity are timeless. Next.
No. Okay. All right. I already, she didn't let me finish my Daily Winnie. I was going to tell you that I concede. I concede. I will not bitch about Black Beauty again. I concede. You guys win. There's just too many of you, obviously, who like Jamie's reading. I don't know if you like the reading or Black Beauty more or both, but I concede. I will not complain about it again.
Okay, I do appreciate that. Can you get your wife on board? Because she seems to be the most snarky these days.
I cannot. I'm married to her. Do you think I have any control over that?
Coach Jen.
Yes.
Do you also concede to, I mean, we don't have that much longer. We have maybe like 40 pages left. If you may concede.
That's like a month.
Yeah, pretty much. That's
I didn't
too
say 40
much.
Chapters. I said 40 pages. And I do like 3 to 4 pages a day. So do the math. So Coach Jen,
don't
do
you
also
it's
concede?
Called sarcasm.
I'm not. I don't think.
Flow, you know?
I think I better stop being even sarcastic because it's been. I think that the throngs are going to rebel at this point.
And my mama will call you and complain. She loves that part of the show too.
The riots are going to be just like in London, which was pretty sad the last couple of days. But I don't want rioting here at Horses in the Morning. So I concede.
You know what I'm doing right now, Glenn? I'm giving this right now. I'm giving you a big, big virtual hug right now. Okay. I appreciate it. We are starting anew. We are starting fresh. We are at peace with each other and at peace with the book until it gets to the point where I cry when I'm reading it, and then I'm going to get mad again. But thank
well,
you very
I
much.
Well, I concede that this was a good idea. I give you credit. It's obviously a segment that everybody seems to enjoy. Even Man Nation here at Horses in the Morning is getting on board. I don't know if it's because – I kind of think that might be your sexy reading of it is why the guys are on board with it. I'm trying to help Tom out here so he keeps some of his manhood.
So the sexy reading, the winter came in early. And with a great deal of cold.
I think you should read today like that.
There was snow, sleet, and rain.
Your
things
best
are going
porn star voice.
Day.
Hey, guess what?
What?
Yesterday, Jennifer and I were driving home from somewhere. We were about a block away from our house. And there's a little section that's undeveloped between the developments here that's tall grass and stuff and some trees. And we came out, and all of a sudden behind us, I stopped the car, and I said, Jennifer, look around. And she looked around, and sure enough, remember when I said I was mowing the backyard, and this large, what I thought was a wolf's dog of some sort, came within 5 feet of me in my backyard?
Yeah.
Well, We saw it again yesterday. And we have confirmed, we got out of the car and actually watched it for a while. It was trying really hard to get hit by a car, running back and forth across the road. It was a coyote, a very large coyote. But
wow.
There was no question. A bunch of us were standing there watching it, and it's definitely a coyote. And he looked kind of scary. I don't know if he's sick or what the story is, but he kind of has a menacing look. It was
Glenn,
definitely the one I saw.
Glenn, he's a coyote. He doesn't have a groomer.
Well, that's true. That's true. Although he was acting kind of weird. So
what time of the day was this?
Middle of the day.
Four or five in the afternoon?
4 or 5 in the afternoon. It wasn't dark yet or anything.
That's still kind of abnormal. So I would probably, did you call anybody and report it this time?
No, he took off. No, I didn't. what are you going to say? He was over here 3 hours ago.
You just go and you call, and they kind of keep a lookout for it, because I'm kind of dealing with the same situation now. But you're supposed to do your part to the community and make a call and go, hey, there's a coyote that's rather large and very surly looking that is roaming around in the middle of the day here. So, you know, he might have rabies, or he's taking people's puppies or kittens. So you need to do something.
All right, and it looks like we're having, let me double check, you two chat with each other. There's many people on Facebook saying we're not live. So why don't you two chat with each other, and I will look into that for a moment, and I will be back.
So it looks like the No Feel Tuesday is now feeling a little grim.
I was so funny earlier, and so is Glenn.
You were on such a roll. I don't know what the deal is.
Only time I'm funny is when we're not on the air. It stinks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. The only time I'm funny is when I wrote it ahead of time.
Yeah, exactly.
We all have our limits.
Me too. Me too. So I wanted to comment. I actually, just going back to the Black Beauty thing, since Glenn's not here, a bunch of people have been commenting about other books that we can read online. And I'm interested to find out what you think, and have you read any of these? One of the people said King of the Wind, which is the story of Sham, and
yep.
And I believe that's a Marguerite Henry. But I don't know if those are, like, old enough to be read online without getting sued.
Yeah, that one might, because that was probably written in the late 50s, early 60s, I would think. Yeah. You know
yeah,
what we
probably
could do?
Not.
I have a book of the right age group that we could read.
What book?
And it would successfully gross Glenn out daily. It's called The Practical Stock Doctor. It's actually a veterinary manual that was written in, I think, 1830 or something
that. So you
it's
bleed
really
the
cool.
horses. Just lay them down and bleed them. Cut their artery, let all the blood run out, and then they'll be healthier.
There are a lot
no,
of dirt, yeah.
Yeah, sounds good. There's somebody wrote, a guy named Randy Thompson, says she knows an author who has an amazing series called The Legend of the Great Horse, and his name is John. I need more information, Randy, so
yeah.
If you can give me his last name, or I guess I could try to Google it or whatever, but it'd be interesting to find out a little bit more about that, and a couple different, I think we're going to have to do a poll, Jennifer, and find out what books people think. We'll do like a vote online, and everybody has to go online and vote and
sure.
Let us know what exactly they want us to hear.
We can read Zephanon. That's old enough.
What?
Zephanon.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to say that. Xenophon, ex-Xenophone.
We could really step up the educational value of the program and have my friend read it in the original Greek. Wouldn't
be
cool?
Oh, yeah, that's not going to happen. That is definitely not going to happen.
Fast-paced, exciting, plenty of drama.
Yeah, not so much. Hey,
so are most of the books, not because I didn't read all the posts yet, because there's like zillions of them. Are most of the books suggested nonfiction for the most part?
They're almost equivalent to Black Beauty. They're all very much kids' books. People
yeah,
like
they're nonfiction, kid story kind of things.
Yeah, like Misty of Chicoutimi and, King of the Wind. Any of every Marguerite Henry book has been suggested. I'm waiting for Judy Blume books to be suggested because that's like the preteen, you know?
Oh, yeah. Are you there, Todd? I have about 25 books stacked up here because the kind folks over at Trafalgar Square, every time they get a new title, send me one so that we can do book reviews. We could just start reading them.
That sounds good. Well, yeah. We should definitely do that. I want to pre-read them and to make sure they're good enough because, I mean, it's going to be hard to follow Black Beauty. So,
That's not old enough, though. We could read Ruffian. That's a good tearjerker.
Oh, my God, I couldn't do it. I don't think I could do it. But it would be a good one. Hey,
I'm back. I'm back here, and it looks like we are not live in any way, shape, or form. So, Jennifer, if you could drop a support ticket in for that right now and let them know that our show is not live. It's not live on their site. It's not live on the mobile, and it's not live on the players. So we'll just record this for a podcast that people can listen to later. Yes. And we assume – well, we know that people can call in because we have somebody that has called in and is listening now. So that's – We have to let people know that they can call in and listen to days like this. I should post that on Facebook, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you probably should because nobody can hear you right now.
Yeah. I was just thinking that, actually. It's Tuesday. What did we say? We all had this feeling before the show started today.
I know. And I told Jennifer, it's too bad because we were actually funny this morning.
I know.
And it's wasted. Totally
I
wasted.
Told my coyote story. I wasn't nuts. Jennifer saw it. I was not nuts. It actually did happen.
Yeah, we moved on from that. Although I did save the story for you about the wild dog chow mix that attacked Boomer and caused $350 worth of ear surgery.
Did they find
him? Remember?
Yeah.
Oh, they found him. We see him every day. Every single day, trotting up and down the road, looking for chickens, looking for food, looking for water, looking for whatever he can find. It's like to describe this mongrel that is roaming the neighborhood. He is, of course, an intact male. He looks like a chow from the front half. And the back half, though technically he really looks like a lion because the back half almost has no hair and just a skinny little tail. So front half, lion mane. Back half, lion body. So really, he's like a chow lion mix. Never heard of those, but it could happen. So this dog roams around. Animal control finally was called because everybody in the neighborhood has called on this dog several times, but they've never come out. Once it actually already did some damage and already attacked a dog here, then we were able to get animal control out. So first day they show up, the dog sees the truck and bolts. It lives. It basically spends most of its time at my next door neighbor's under their air conditioning unit for shade and water that drips. So they came over there. She's like, it's over here. Come on over here. It heard the truck roll up and it bolted. So we're going to say that this dog has seen some animal control officers before.
Yes.
And was completely...
Like he's been in jail before.
Yeah, exactly. So then
it doesn't like
control,
the food there.
No, it's the clanking of the cup on the bars is just not keeping him happy. So the day two, they're like, okay, we'll come back tomorrow and we'll bring two animal control trucks, and we'll park on either side. They do that. Dog runs out the back. I mean, couldn't get close to it. Day three, they come out and they've got their big canes and they've got the with the big loop on the end and everything. Mind you, this dog has growl. If you get near it, it growls at you. So there's no way that any of us are going to be able to catch him for animal control. I mean, he's kind of pretty vicious anyway. So then they bring all these other animal control officers out. They get out of the car with their cane poles, and the dog vanishes. They always do call ahead to make sure that the dog is underneath the air conditioning unit at my neighbor's house. Glenn,
great.
They have been out here to try to catch this dog 9 times. 9 times. Like Ferris Bueller, 9 times. 9 times been absent. Anyway, so yes, 9 times the dog, they've been out here and they've been unable to catch it. It's to the point.
Haven't they brought the dart gun yet?
Why don't they do that?
Some places they do, I know. Yeah, some places they have those. Maybe they're not allowed to in your state. Oh, your state has that sheriff guy who, like, locks people up and makes them do hard manual labor. You should have be able to shoot a dart gun in your state.
I know. I'm surprised. This is what we've done. We have taken to giving the dog inordinate amounts of Benadryl. To
kill that problem.
My neighbor,
with, like, canned food?
No, my neighbor milks her goats, and they put all the extra goat milk in a bowl, and we've been, like, opening, like, evil, like, slipping a Mickey to the dog, like, open to the Benadryl and just sprinkling it out on the goat's milk, and he eats it, and he's sleepy, and animal control doesn't come that time. So I am in the market for a giant bottle of azithromycin, because I know that that'll work, and it'll slow him down for long enough. But we just have to kind of get scheduled with the we have to drug the dog at the appropriate time, because none of us, even drugs, can get near him because he growls and he snarls, and I want nothing to do with that. I like my limbs, and I like my hands and my face.
I think canned food with about 5 or 6 sleeping pills ought to do the trick.
Yeah, you would think. He has had about 6 times his potential dose of Benadryl and still can get up and run away. So
that's why I'm
thinking
instead of Benadryl, just go straight to the sleeping pills. And just do 5 or 6 of those in canned food so you're sure he gets it. And he'll eat that up, no problem. And then he'll just be passed out, and you can go up and you can throw him in the back of your pickup and bring him to the control people.
We can snuggle with him and love on him and pet him and smooch him.
You can be Black Beauty-ish.
I know. Here you go, my friend. It's just frustrating because he's so – I love dogs. And I will take a stray home without even thinking about it, trying to help them, find them a home, take care of them, whatever. And it's really frustrating to – or not frustrating. It's more sad to see a stray – that there's nothing you can do except for basically send him to his death sentence. And maybe that's doing him a favor. I'm having a really hard time with it because as much of me wants to help him, that's really no life, the one that he has. It's no life running and hiding your entire life and trying to find water in the desert, okay? He lives in the desert. There's really not much food unless you steal everybody's chickens. There's really not that much to drink unless you're drinking under the air conditioning unit. And so, part of me is having a hard time with the fact that basically when we send him in and they catch him, he's going to be euthanized because who's going to adopt him?
And on the other side of that, though, is he has proven to be somewhat dangerous. So there is another side of that. You don't want some little kid getting in his way someday when he's having a bad day.
Yeah. That's the other part of it. So I'm trying to, both sides of me are getting torn over this issue. But when he's attacking dogs, all that takes is a kid next and then a human, an adult or whichever order. It doesn't matter. It's just going to, it could be bad. So I'm trying to do the best I can emotionally, but it's still got to be, it's still tough for me.
Hey,
definitely.
We have a coyote we could have come over and help you out if you need it.
they could get married and run away together.
We could ship him over. He could be a guard coyote. He could guard your chicken house. I'm sure he'd be thrilled to do that.
I'm sure he would. And, my next story, Glenn, kind of goes right along with the whole idea of this unneutered male dog roaming the neighborhood and your probably intact male coyote that is roaming around looking for, women or food, just like any man. The gelding program from the Unwanted Horse Coalition is continuing to operate. They had done a couple trial runs. The coalition basically set up camps in 3 or 4 different places and did these big gelding clinics where you could take your horse, like a low-cost spay and neuter vet, you could bring your horse to them and for almost like, I think it was for free, they would geld your horse. The money is provided by the AAEP, the United States Trotting Association, the Unwanted Horse Coalition, and they continue to take donations from you. You can make a tax-deductible contribution for the gelding Operation Gelding program through the American Horse Council. So, it's still going on. they are still taking money and they are still gelding horses, which just makes me happy every day. Brain surgery for everyone for free. I love it.
That's funny. You and your brain surgery comments. Every time brain surgery for you. Hey, did we discuss the gypsy in England? Of course, this is Ireland. I think this is where Liam lives. Let me look.
Time out. Let me just give the website just in case anybody wants to donate or wants to give any more information. It's unwantedhorsecoalition.org. Please feel free to go check that out and just take a look at it. They have an unwanted horse survey. They've got facilities that accept horses on there, probably plenty of places for you to figure out how to adopt. So unwantedhorsecoalition.org. Carry on. Sorry.
All right. Well, I just want to give a shout-out to Liam, our friend over in Ireland, because I think that's where this story comes from. A tipsy gypsy, because they still have gypsies over there, told cops he went through a red light because his horse was colorblind. He apparently drove his horse and cart the wrong way up a one-way street, a court heard, and he was slurring his speech. But his colorful tale failed to convince officers, and he ended up in court, where he was represented by an aptly named lawyer, John Dobbin. Now, we got a gypsy being represented by a lawyer by the name of John Dobbin. This can't get any better than this. After the hearing, he said, "I've had him since he was a foal. He's the best you can get, but he's a bit colorblind." And apparently he ran a red light and everything like that, and he was arrested. And not only was the horse a bit colorblind, but the tipsy gypsy was a bit drunk. So he was fine. And that was the gypsy tale in Ireland this week. You know, it doesn't matter what you're driving. You shouldn't drive drunk, even if you're a gypsy.
And the horse rearing up and you know, it's causing a spectacle. Nobody gets drunk and nice. You know, if you have a drinking problem, you pretty much don't get drunk and sweet. You get drunk and belligerent. I don't know why those two things go hand in hand. Me, I get drunk and I get sleepy. So I go to bed. But why if it just happens to people? That's when you know you have a problem. If you get drunk and then everybody tells you the stories that you were, like, beating people up the next day, you have a problem and you need to see somebody about it. So that's my public service announcement, is you have a problem if you're drunk and angry.
There you go. All right, this show today is sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. And we're going to get to Dr. Wendy Ying. I think she might be calling in now, Jennifer. Is sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. They are passionate about the health and wellness of horses and all animals. Their expanded equine product portfolio includes the trusted Strongen C2X, West Nile Innovator, the Innovator family of vaccines, Solitude IGR, and Zylexis. Pfizer strives to make life better for horses and the people who care for them. Protect your horse against upper respiratory disease, such as equine influenza virus and equine herpes virus, strands 1 and 4. From the Fort Dodge vaccine family or vaccine line, Pfizer Animal Health offers FluVac Innovator, adjuvanted with MetaStim technology for an improved immune response. For more information on Pfizer Animal Health products, visit PfizerAnimalHealth.com. That's P-F-I-Z-E-R, Animal Health. .com. So I got through that almost without. I only had 4 or 5 mistakes, I think.
You did fine. You did fantastic.
How can 2 paragraphs be so darn hard to read?
Because they're big words. Hey, Glenn, what are you doing on Wednesday?
Tomorrow, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Doing a show with you.
Okay.
Trying to get ready to go to Philadelphia, trying to get all the shows out, get 3 days worth of work done, or 5 days worth of work done in 3.
Okay, well, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go ahead and head either to Saratoga Springs, New York, or just to your local off-track betting site. I think you can you can do this at Keeneland. I just need you to place a wager for me on the pick six at Saratoga. Do you think you can do that?
Pick six? Why? What's
pick
up?
Pick six. Because nobody has hit it in several days. And right now it is going to be $232,356 when racing resumes on Wednesday. So I'm thinking if we just kind of pool our money, we could pick a couple different angles to go with. And because this is such a huge carryover that nobody's won, a lot of people are going to bet on it. So by the time this is all said and done, the pot could be over $400,000.
Well, that's a tiny chunk of change. Yeah, I'm kind of in. You pick the horses, though, because I'm not so good at that.
Oh, wait. That might be where we have our problem.
But I do have the winning lottery ticket for $180 million in my pocket.
When is that pick?
Wednesday night, too. So we could win either one. We'll just play them both.
Oh, let's play them both, and we'll see what happens.
That gives us a 50% more chance of winning. Do you know they have drive-through betting down here at Keeneland? They actually have drive-up windows you can bet at Keeneland.
God, I love Kentucky.
Speaking of which, let's get our guest on here. We have on with us today, now nobody's listening except for our one lonely listener here in the room. But
we're sort of doing a
podcast today, I would say. We have Dr. Wendy Ying, my co-host of the Driving Radio Show. We have not had her officially on here since she became my co-host of the Driving Radio Show. So good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Jamie and Glenn. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, except nobody's listening to us right now because we're not live for some dumb reason.
Oh, well, that's all right.
We're having technical difficulties.
You'll listen later. That's the beauty of the podcast.
That's right. Well, welcome, Wendy. It's so nice for you to join us here. I know you've been making the rounds of all the shows, talking about the new show.
Yeah, it's been great meeting all the co-hosts and hearing about all the new shows. So it's really great. I'm having a great time.
You had an interesting experience, I hear, with Alan and Tammy over on the Western show yesterday.
Oh, they are so funny. You know, like, cowboys are funny anyways, but Alan and Tammy together are so hilarious. Some of the stuff they said they did not put on the air, which I was glad about. Like, if I'm glad they're not putting it on the air, it must be really bad. But they are funny, funny people.
Yeah, Alan and Tammy, they're interesting to record with. Jamie can attest to that. She's had Alan a few times. She's had that experience.
Alan and I are best friends. Absolute best friends.
Well, I don't think I'd want to do a show alone with Alan without Tammy because he seems like, I'm sure he would get picked on.
Yes, I guarantee you. He picks on Tammy all the time.
Did he pick on you? Did he pick on you too?
No, he didn't because I was a guest, so he was polite. But I'm sure if I became like co-host, that would be it. I'd be fair game. Yeah.
And you learned something about Tammy too yesterday, didn't you?
Oh, yes. I learned, driving related, I learned that she used to drive Pacers in college in Australia.
Yeah, back in Australia, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's.
So there's a lot of people that have driving related backgrounds. So I think that's why we have a wide variety of people listening to the driving show.
It's just been, Jamie, I have to tell you, the Driving Radio Show has been the fastest out of the block of any show we have done as far as the number of downloads and listeners that have picked it up quickly. So after the first month, it's been the fastest growing show we've ever put out in 3 years.
Glenn, don't lie. Don't lie just because she's on the air. You can say that it was second to Horses in the Morning. I'm fine with that. You can be honest and truthful with her. I think it's only fair.
I know he likes you best because he is taking you up to Pennsylvania to that show, and I want to go to the show, and he said, no, I'm taking Jamie. So I was like, fine, Glenn.
You know, I can transfer my ticket pretty quick. I'm just kidding.
You don't
want to
go?
Excited. I do. I'm super excited about it. I'm just kidding. It's
he loves
like
going.
My,
he loves
like
going
my vacation.
Spend money.
Yeah, it's true. I do like the shopping, and I need to be budgeting myself, and it's going to be really hard. It's like, hey, here's a bunch of candy. Don't eat any.
Good try. Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, this is a tough job I have. I have all these women I have to keep happy. I tell one thing, and they're mad because they weren't the one. So it's like,
you know what I was thinking last night? I was thinking you're like Charlie from Charlie's Angels, and you have all these angels you have to deal with. So you only can speak to them on the computer. We, like, never see you.
I tell you, all of my co-hosts are going to love you. You just called them all angels.
Well, we are. except for when you make us mad. Like, if for some reason you said to me, I'm taking Wendy to Philly instead of you, boy, there would be hell to pay. And if you, but see, you tell Wendy that you're taking me and she's mad at you immediately. So, you know, we can be angels, but we can be devils. That's all it takes. One more fire.
Hey, I think I know that. I do a show every morning with my wife as the producer.
Yeah.
Oh, now, yeah, she's like big boss.
Not sure if that was a great move in the beginning, you know? Actually, we talked about it, Jennifer and I, before she became the producer. I was like, can you put up with me every day like that and then not yell at me after the show?
So far, so good.
She
can't yell at you after the show?
Tell us about the driving radio show, Wendy. Tell us about the driving radio show before I get in trouble.
Okay, the driving radio show, it's a very interesting mix of people that we have on there. We have the ADS, the American Driving Society, comes on and gives us a report every week on what's going on with the ADS. We also have guests from all walks of life, from competition to driving stagecoaches to driving minis to zebras. And we also have Mike Arnold from Driving News.us that gives us some updates about the European shows. And then I do a weekly Chinese medicine segment. Plus, we have lots of fun.
We had fun last week, I have to tell you, Jamie. We had on last week's show, or was it last week or the week before, where we had the guy who did drive the stagecoach for Wells Fargo. What a fascinating guy. And the response we got to him was great, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was great to talk to. I could have talked to him for hours. He was so fun and interesting. And he was really, you could tell he was so passionate about what he did. He just loved his life. It's really great to talk to people like that. Now, I have a question for you. Are you guys worried at all that, you know, because I get this question a lot and I have an answer as well, but are you guys worried that there won't be something to talk about for a week? Do people ask you that? Like, how are you going to do a show every week about driving? No, there's so much to talk about.
Let me put it this way. I just edited this week's show that we recorded, that Wendy and I recorded yesterday. I had to cut out about 15 minutes because we went so darn long. First of all, Wendy and I never run out of things to talk about, sort of like you and I, Jamie. And and there's just so many fascinating characters in any part of the horse world. You know, that's why I think we can do all these different shows, is there's just so many fascinating people and characters. Wouldn't you agree with that, Wendy?
Yeah, and I think like our interview that we recorded yesterday, and maybe I shouldn't talk about it because I don't want to spoil the surprise. But anyways, almost all of our guests have a different aspect of their life that we never even get to cover. So really, all of our interviews, we could do 3 interviews with the amount of things they have to talk about. I totally agree. You know? People ask me, like, you do a radio show every day about horses? Like, what do you guys talk about? I'm like, horses? Because you're right, there's so many different avenues of ways to even talk to the same type of, you know, same type of rider, much like a driver. So, I definitely think it's not something that any of us are going to have trouble with, is coming up with things to talk about. But what we really want to talk to you about, Wendy, is I know you and Glenn will go off on some tangent. I want to find out, you are currently in, you're a veterinarian. You're a Chinese herbalist, medicine doctor, acupuncturist, and now you're going to chiropractic school. So you're going to be the most well-rounded veterinarian of all time at the end of it.
Well, I don't know about that, but at least the most well-rounded in the complementary therapy aspect for right now. But I think chiropractic and acupuncture go really well together, and I do a lot of sport horses. So, and I also do a lot of dogs. So I really think this goes well together. And sometimes I,
you know, there are times when I wish I had a little bit extra something to fix a problem that I'm using Chinese medicine for, and chiropractic, I think, will fill that space. So I'm really excited about it.
What do you think the most common problem is with horses that need acupuncture and chiropractic work?
The most common problem is back pain, you know, so we don't have... Of course, we have treatments for that, but we don't have great treatments for that. So alternative therapy sometimes can be easier on the body, work a little bit quicker. And, you know, you can do these therapies when you're at the horse show. Like, say you go out, you decide you're going to start jogging, which I'm telling you from experience, okay? So this is actually probably the best thing that made me more empathetic to my patients. I got this app called Couch to 5K and decided I was going to start jogging because I'm getting too fat. So I do the Couch to 5K, and I was, like, super over-aggressive. I was like, I'm not going to do it every other day. I'm going to jog every day. And sometimes I went out twice a day on the Couch to 5K, which was totally stupid. And then by, like, the end of, like, 3 weeks, my back was killing me. I could hardly walk. I had, like, pulled my sacroiliac ligament. I was, like, all bent over, and I had totally pulled all the muscles in my ass. And I was like, you know, this is so stupid. This is exactly what people do when they start a big horse that's not on pasture, and then they decide they're going to go fox hunting, like, right now, or they decide they're going to start pulling a carriage.
Wendy, I've been doing, this is why I love Wendy. I've been doing this these shows on Horse Radio Network for 3 years. Not in 3 years have I ever had anybody say they pulled all the muscles in their ass.
I did.
Not once.
I did. I was in so much pain. And then I had to go to my acupuncturist. One of my professors at Qi is a human acupuncturist. I had to go to her, and she had to stick all these acupuncture needles exactly in the mouth on the horses. And it was so painful. No wonder they were bucking. I'm totally empathetic about that.
Wait a minute. She stuck acupuncture needles in your butt?
Yeah. Well, I pulled my glutes, so she had to stick the needles in my glutes, and then I was, like, screaming.
And people wonder. They say to Jamie, what are you going to talk about on the air? What are you going to talk about every day? Look, we find these unique things like acupuncture in the butt. I mean, what other show is going to talk about acupuncture in the butt?
I know. But, yeah. I mean, it didn't make me realize, like, those are exactly the points that I use in the horses when they strain their lower back and their glutes, and that happens, I mean, almost all the time people call me, it's for that situation.
Now, Jamie, have you ever had acupuncture?
Because horses always get sore like that.
No, I want acupuncture so bad, actually, because I have a... you know, being a horse person, you have some chronic pain here and there, but I've got one little spot on my, like, behind my shoulder blade, my scapula, and it hurts all the time. And so I've had chiropractic work done. I've been to the doctors. I've had x-rays taken. Nothing they've been able to do. They even sent me to physical therapy for it, which did nothing. So I'm thinking that the only way to fix this problem is to do acupuncture at this point. I even told the doctor, I was like, can't you just stick a needle in it and inject it with Legend and Adequan or something like that? I mean, there's got to be something you can do. I'm like, scrub it up, do a joint injection. We'll get some Dex, we'll get some steroid, we'll throw some Legend in there. They're like, no. They go, we can't stick a needle in there because your lung is right underneath it. And I said, well, then that would be your fault, wouldn't it, if you hit the lung? And they didn't think that was very funny at all.
No.
So
you should get an acupuncturist for sure.
I definitely have been thinking about it more and more, especially because what you've helped me with, Dr. Ying, is so helpful with helping me with my dog and the diet changes and the chin calmer medicine.
Oh,
it really helps. She sleeps all night long. So I definitely think that there's huge merit, and I've seen it work with horses incredibly well. And the reason I ask you about the most common thing that you would treat is back pain, and that has been, I have seen acupuncture stop back pain. My friend used to ride her horse. Yeah.
Let me interrupt you here quick. I just got word that listeners are listening to us again, and I just checked, and we are back to live. So, Jennifer, if you could post on the Facebook page that we are live, that would be good. And I just want to reset here a little bit. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. Jamie and I have been here since 9 o'clock recording. And if you missed the beginning of this show because of the technical problems, we apologize for that. And we will have it out in the podcast a little bit later so you can go back and listen to the beginning. We are talking to Dr. Wendy Ying, who is here for the first time as a host on the Horse Radio Network of the Driving Radio Show. And she talked a little bit about her experiences and how much she's enjoying working with me. She just raved about that. And then if you want to hear the truth, you can go back and listen to the show. And then now she's also at chiropractic school, and that's what we're talking about now. Jimmy's talking to her a little bit about being at chiropractic school. Sorry to interrupt there. I just wanted to reset for everybody who's just joining us.
That's okay. Everybody should go back to the beginning of the show and listen because we were actually – I mean, we were so funny.
Yeah, we were almost funny today. It was like talking to ourselves.
Close. It's almost funny. So you might want to go back and check that out, listen to the beginning of the show. We gave daily whinnies to most of our listeners. So if you want to hear your little daily whinny shout-out, then you'll want to go listen to the beginning of the show.
And
so,
if you want to hear Glenn eating humble pie.
Oh, yeah. That was my favorite part. That was my favorite
part.
I
had to go back and
listen. Listener United and Glenn ate humble pie, put his foot out of his mouth, and panicked on the floor. So we do appreciate that, Glenn. Thank you for publicly berating yourself. Anyway, Dr. Ying, back to the point about acupuncture and chiropractic. I think that, I was about to tell you a story. My girlfriend would hop on her horse bareback. And it looked like he was about to die. Like, he would almost crack in the middle. He was in so much pain. I'm like, get off, get off, get off. She's like, oh, he always does that. I'm like, oh, honey, that is not okay. So we had the acupuncturist come out, and she did 3 treatments. So you could ride that horse bareback for hours. He does not care. Acupuncture completely fixed that horse. So, I definitely see the huge merit in it, and I'm going to have to find an acupuncturist and get my back done.
Hey, can we do this? This has probably never been done before. We can have you get your acupuncture while on the air so we can hear you scream. That would be great.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
That's a first, a live acupuncture treatment on the morning radio show. I bet you the listeners would go for that.
The acupuncture is not as painful as the cupping, because they'll do cupping if you go to a Chinese medicine person. And the cup is like, they have this little glass cup, and they light a lighter inside. You know, they rub it with alcohol and then, like, put fire inside. And then they stick it on your skin, and it causes a vacuum, and it kind of pulls your skin off your fascia. And it's super painful when you're sore. But it works really well.
Oh, yeah, just sign me up for that one.
The screen.
Hey, I'm never letting Wendy get near me.
When you remember how I told you I think I'm going to get acupuncture?
Yeah.
A minute ago? Yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. Never mind.
No, that's what you need. That's what you need on your shoulder, because that's probably what is wrong, is that you have a little bit of a fibrous tag, so you have myofascial pain.
Or
yeah, all that
your husband,
still needs your skin.
Yeah, just burn me, honey. Just go ahead. Sounds great. Yeah. Well, good luck to you down there and doing acupuncture school or chiropractic school. I think it's going to be fantastic for you and your practice and your clients to be able to offer that to everybody. And I definitely think it's very worth its merit and worthwhile, and just a fantastic way to treat a sport horse.
I do too. And Jamie, I have one last thing to tell you. We went out to go practice on these animals, and they had the cutest Basset Hound Lab puppies you've ever seen that need home.
Oh,
and I think you need one.
Oh, don't tell her that.
You should go to. There's one of them were cute and loved to be carried around like a baby.
Wendy, can I tell you that during this interview, I have pulled, currently my sock is in Boomer's mouth. My Zenyatta is chewing a napkin right now that is shredded all over. Oh, no, that's an entire roll of paper towels. I'm sorry. So, yeah, another puppy sounds awesome. Send it on over.
All right. Well, go check out my pictures on Facebook.
Bye, Wendy. Awesome. Thanks for joining us.
All right.
Bye,
thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
apologize, her connection wasn't perfect there. It just goes along with our Tuesday.
I know, it's Tuesday, fun Tuesday, and that's what we discussed at the beginning of the show. I'm like, does it just kind of feel like a Tuesday, which has no feel? Good time.
You know, she's heading over to, I wanted to tell you, we talked about in this week's show that'll come out later today on the drivingradioshow.com website. She, and you can also follow us on Facebook at Driving Radio Show as well. She is heading over to help a friend of hers out, a guest who we had on the show this week for the Pony World Championships, which are being held in Slovenia. Well, it's just kind of ironic that I talked about Slovenia on a show this week, and last week we talked to our friend Rochelle about her going to vet school in Slovakia. So we had Slovenia and Slovakia all in a week here on the Horse Radio Network. What are the chances of that?
And then we got to talk about the Mongol Derby. So Mongolia came up, too. We are truly an international show.
We are. We are definitely international. And I think right now I need a break so we can regroup here and come back. And we're going to have our European – speaking of international, we're going to have our European report with Katie Gilmore and Horse and Country TV coming up if she can get through. And we'll be doing that. And plus, immediately after our song today, we have the wonderful – beautiful continuing reading of Black Beauty.
Yay.
Something that apparently everyone, even the men, enjoy. So today has to be your sexy voice. Just reminding you.
No, I can't change it up now. You just think that the men want to hear sexy voice, but it's not. It's all about the merit of the story, okay? Play
okay.
This song, Glenn.
All right. Bye.
I'm so happy, so lucky. Crank it up loud. Yeah, it's good to be me. It's so easy to see why everybody wants to be free. 'Cause I'm moving and grooving and dreaming and singing at the top of my lungs. I'm an unfortunate one. Finally found a place in the sun.
That was Templeton Thompson, and that was her song, Unstoppable. We appreciate you being here. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek. Jamie Jennings is here as well, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair today. We're glad to be back live here, and we hope we stay that way through the rest of the show. And now it is time for the reading of Black Beauty.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 38, Dolly and a Real Gentleman. The winter came in early with a great deal of cold and wet.
There was snow or sleet or rain almost every day for weeks, changing only for keen driving winds or sharp frosts. The horses all felt it very much. When it's a dry cold, a couple of good thick rugs will keep the warmth for us, but when it's soaking rain, they soon get wet through and are no good. Some of the drivers had a waterproof cover to throw over, which was a fine thing, but some of the men were so poor they could not protect them either themselves or their horses, and many of them suffered very much that winter. When we horses had worked half the day, we went to our dry stables and could rest, while they had to sit on their boxes, sometimes staying out as late as 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning if they had a party to wait for. When the streets were slippery with frost or snow, that was the worst of all for us horses. 1 mile of such traveling with weight to draw and no firm footing would take more out of us than 4 on a good road. Every nerve and muscle of our bodies is on the strain to keep our balance, and added to this, the fear of falling is more exhausting than anything else. If the roads are very bad indeed, our shoes are rough, but that makes us feel nervous at first. When the weather was very bad, many of the men would go in and sit in the tavern close by and get someone to watch for them, but they often lost a fare that way and could not, as Jerry said, be there without spending money. He never went to the Rising Sun. There was a coffee shop now near where every now and then he went, or he bought off an old man who came to our rink with tins of hot coffee and pies. It was in his opinion that spirits and beer made a man colder afterwards, and that dry clothes, good food, cheerfulness, and a comfortable wife at home were the best things to keep a cabman warm. Polly always supplied him with something to eat when he could not get home, and sometimes he would see little Dolly peeping from the corner of the street to make sure if Father was on the stand. If she saw him, she would run off at full speed and soon come back with something in a tin or basket, some hot soup or pudding that Polly had ready. It was wonderful how such a little thing could get safely across the street, often thronged with horses and carriages, but she was a brave little maid and felt it quite an honor to bring Father's first course, as he used to call it. She was a general favorite on the stand, and there was not a man who would not have seen her safely across the street if Jerry had not been able to do it. On a cold, windy day, Dolly had brought Jerry a basin of something hot and was standing by him whilst he ate it. He had scarcely begun when a gentleman, walking towards us very fast, held up his umbrella. Jerry touched his hat in return, gave the basin to Dolly, who was taking off my cloth, when the gentleman said, hastening up, cried out, "No, no, finish your soup, my friend. I have not much time to spare, but I can wait until you're done. Set your little girl safely on the pavement." So saying, he seated himself in the cab. Jerry thanked him kindly and came back to Dolly. "There, Dolly, that's a real gentleman. That's a gentleman, Dolly. He's got time and thought for the comfort of a poor cabman and a little girl." Jerry finished his soup and set the child across and then took his orders to drive up to Clapham Rise. Several times after that, the same gentleman took our cab. I think he was very fond of dogs and horses, for whenever we took him to his own door, 2 or 3 dogs would come bounding out to meet him. Sometimes he came around and patted me, saying in his quiet, pleasant way, "This horse has got a good master and he deserves it." It was a very rare thing for anyone to notice the horse that had been working for him. I've known ladies to do it now and then, and this gentleman and 1 or 2 others have given me a pat and a kind word, but 99 out of 100 would have soon thought of patting a steam engine that drew the train. This gentleman was not young, and there was a forward stoop in his shoulders as if he was always going at something. His lips were thin and close shut, though they had a very pleasant smile. His eye was keen, and there was something in his jaw and the motion of his head that made one think he was very determined in anything he set about. His voice was pleasant and kind, and any horse would trust that voice, though it was as decided as everything else about him. One day he and another gentleman took our cab. They stopped at a shop on our street, and whilst his friend went in, he stood at the door. A little ahead of us, the other side of the street, a cart with 2 very fine horses was standing before some wine vaults. The carter was not with them, and I cannot tell how long they had been standing, but they seemed to think they had waited long enough and began to move off. Before they had gone many paces, the carter came running out and caught them. He seemed furious about them having moved, and with a whip and a rein, he punished them brutally, even beating them about the head. Our gentleman saw it all, stepping quickly across the street, said in a decided voice, "If you don't stop that directly, I'll have you summoned for leaving your horses and for brutal conduct." The man, who had clearly been drinking, poured forth some abusive language, but he left off knocking the horses about, and taking the reins, got into his cart. Meantime, our friend had quietly taken his notebook from his pocket and, looking at the name and address painted on the cart, wrote something down. "What do you want with that?" growled the carter as he cracked his whip and was moving on. A nod and a grim smile was the only answer he got. On returning to the cab, our friend was joined by his companion, who said laughingly, I should have thought, right, you had enough business of your own to look after without troubling yourself about other people's horses and servants. Our friend stood still for a moment and throwing his head a little back. Do you know why this world is as bad as it is? No, said the other. Then I'll tell you. It's because people think only about their own business and won't trouble themselves to stand up for the oppressed nor bring the wrongdoer to light. I never see a wicked thing like this without doing what I can, and many a master has thanked me for letting him know how his horses have been used. I wish there were more gentlemen like you, sir, said Jerry, for they are all wanted badly in this city. After this, we continued our journey, and as they got out of our cab, our friend was saying, my doctrine is this, that if we see cruelty or wrong that we have the power to stop and do nothing, we make ourselves sharers in the guilt. And tomorrow, chapter 39, Seedy Sam. If we see cruelty or wrong and we have the power to stop it, but we do nothing, we make ourselves sharers in the guilt. I love that. Sorry, go ahead.
Good quote. Good quote for the day. They even had road rage back then, didn't they? Even when you're driving a horse and buggy, you can have road rage.
Drunk driving, it's like the story you did earlier about the drunk gypsy. The tipsy gypsy who went through the red light, and then when he got pulled over driving his horse, told the officers it was because his horse was colorblind. I didn't
That's
know
just
that
a
they
great
were.
Story.
There's many jokes on that.
Hey, you know what's going to be a bad thing this year is hay prices. There's a bunch of stories out now that, and I know you're dying to hear this, there's a bunch of stories right now in some parts of the country. Now, in our area, they've gotten a couple of good crops of hay off, but, you know, Texas and you guys and, you know, just all across California has had an unusually wet, cold winter and spring. There's the brutal drought, you know, that has happened through the middle part of the country. And also, they're saying another reason that hay is going to be scarce. This drives me insane. And I know we're not supposed to talk about politics on this show, but this is one thing that drives me insane. A growing trend for farmers to shift from hay production to government-subsidized corn for ethanol. When are we going to stop putting our food into our gas tanks?
Okay. Don't. I can't comment.
I know. So. But anyway, that's the main reasons that we're going to see hay prices go through the roof over the winter this year.
Well, if they would take the people that are getting government subsidies right now to do nothing with their land and grew hay, then hay prices would not go up, and we could have hay and ethanol as a. Sorry. See, I'm just going to get mad.
I got you started. That was my fault. All right. The next story
Glenn, hold on.
Yeah.
You talk about hay prices. Right now, I mean, granted, I buy 3-string 100-pound bales, $13 a bale now. And that is not including alfalfa. That is just plain old Bermuda grass.
Now, is that up from what you were paying last year?
Yeah,
this time, you think?
Well, it just went up about 3 weeks ago. I went to the store, and I buy 6 bales at a time because I don't have a big hay shed here, and the place is right down the street, and I only have a couple horses. So I buy 6 bales at a time, and usually my total is like $80-something dollars or whatever. All of a sudden, it was like almost 100. I go, what happened? Yeah, hay prices went up again, because the total was always the same every single time, and then all of a sudden, it was a huge number, bigger anyway. So they went up about $2 a bale. That's ridiculous.
Wow. Jennifer, that's a good question of the day. Has people seen their hay prices rising, or have they stayed steady right now? So that's a good question of the day. We'll get a feel for hay prices. We did that once before, but I think we did it over the winter many, many months ago. It'd be interesting to see if other people are seeing their hay prices going up. Now, in our area, because we've had so much rain, we've actually probably had pretty good hay. The hay that they got at our barn looked pretty good this year. So I don't know if it's the same problem everywhere.
Unless it got rained on, you know, that could always be another problem. But I think those people are pretty smart about that stuff. I just got a letter from my trainer that says, due to the rising costs of, well, everything, basically lesson and board prices are going up. I don't board there, but I do take lessons. And so everything is going up just simply because she just was like, I have to still – you know, be able to break even.
Well,
with the
and you know,
eating and
fuel affects a lot of that too.
Yeah.
You know, it costs more money to get the hay in, you know, with the tractors and everything. It's just, you know, it all relates, and it's not, at some point you got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
You're going to end up having to do the same thing probably, you know, is raise your rates a little bit just to compensate for everything you're doing. And that fancy new farm you're buying, that one too.
Mwah, ah, raising prices.
All right, I think Katie's ready here, so we're just going to go right to Katie. Jennifer, I'll just take her directly. She's from Horse and Country TV, and let's just get her on here. I'd be interested. Good morning, Katie.
Hi.
Hey, well, thank
Hello.
You for calling in today. What are hay prices like in England? That would be interesting to know.
This year's not been so bad. Last year, it was termed as the green gold, with bales going for £55-56 a large bale of haylage, just simply because there was so little. It was funny weather. It was very wet, so there wasn't as much haylage produced. But this year, looking at the stocks around, it looks like it's going to be a better year.
Well, that's good. That's good.
So, but I want to know, like, I don't know what the transfer would be, but what exactly, how much is a bale of hay weigh that you guys use, and how much does it cost? Because I use 80 to 90 pound bales, and they're $13 a piece.
Okay, I would only know on the massive great bales of haylage. And they were going for about £50 last year. You know, these are the massive rolls of haylage that come wrapped in cellophane rather than hay itself.
That's about the same price that we would pay for the big round ones.
Yeah, I should think it's probably similar. Hopefully that'll come down a little bit as we come into autumn, now that we've got the new cuts that actually the hay, I have to say, the quality looks great this year. So, you know, fingers crossed that when it comes to autumn, the price will come down a bit more because there's more supply to meet the demand.
Well, I guess it's just a problem everywhere, but so I'm glad you guys aren't buying the what'd you call it, the green gold?
Yes, the green gold.
I love it. That's what it is here, except for it's more brown gold.
That's not so good.
What's happening over there at horseandcountry.tv?
Well, we have just had Gatcombe in the last weekend. This is another one of the big events in the eventing calendar over here. It's an international event, so we get a lot of riders from all over the world coming. One thing that happened that was, it was very sad, but these things always are. Zara Phillips retired her world championship horse, Toy Town, at the event.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of pictures of Zara in tears. Toy Town is now 18 years old, and he's had a few injuries over the last couple of years. So, you know, it was a good decision, and she said that his life is now going to consist of packing around the Gatcombe estate, and it's a nice retirement for him. But what a horse, and he certainly played up to the crowd while he was there as well. New Zealand did incredibly well at Gatcombe. They claimed the top spots. Andrew Nicholson in particular managed to claim first and second. So, you know, pretty special, really.
That reminds me of Mary King, you know, at Rolex, taking first and second. It's just amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He was first on the 11-year-old gelding Nereo, and he came second on Avebury, which is Avebury's a horse I've seen a couple of times out. It's a grey horse by Jumbo, the quite a famous jumping stallion, and it's a beautiful horse, really, really beautiful, fantastic jumping ability. So definitely a great weekend for Andrew. Jonathan Paget was third, which was exciting, and then of course Mark Todd, who is often in that top five, he came in fourth with Major Milestone before it went out to people from other countries. So very exciting. We've got interviews with all of the riders that made the grade over the weekend on our website. So if you go to horseandcountry.tv, there's an interview there with Andrew Nicholson, one with Mark Todd, one with Mary King, one with Oliver Townend, and one with Pippa Funnel. So
yeah, they absolutely kicked butt. But it seems like it was a good, successful event. And yeah, Andrew Nicholson is ridiculous. I mean, he was just amazing over the weekend, and definitely congratulations to them.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just going to show that New Zealand's going to be a real force to reckon with at the 2012 Olympics, because their team just seems to be getting stronger and stronger at the moment.
Yeah, and now I know that you've got some people making the team for the European team, so tell us a little bit about that.
We have. We've had the dressage team has been fully announced now for Team GB, for the Europeans. Unsurprising to see Carl Hester and Charlotte Dujardin in there, given the amazing success they've been having with Utopia and with Villegre. We've also got Laura Bettelsheimer. There doesn't seem to be a team now from here without Laura B on it. And Emil Fury has now made the team as the fourth member, which is very exciting. He's got a lovely horse. A little hot, should we say. I saw him ride the horse at Olympia over Christmas, and he actually retired because the horse was rearing and plunging and really a little overexcited by the venue and the atmosphere. But he's been doing fairly well with it on his campaign to get into the team. So we shall see. We shall see how it does. The show jumping team, four of the show jumping team have also been announced after they won the Dublin leg of the Nations Cup last weekend. Michael Whittaker makes the team. It's always good to have a Whittaker on the team. Robert Smith, Scott Brash and Nick Skelton will all be on that team. So we've got full details of those teams and interviews with the riders on our website.
Now, what I love about talking to you in this segment is because we are going to find out and we're learning a lot about riders that we haven't heard of before being in the United States. So hearing these names and hearing you tell stories about them, when we're watching the Olympic Games, we're going to feel like we know everybody. Oh, that's the guy
that's
above us. I think it's fantastic. So I love that you keep bringing us, the European report, find out what's going on over there. So I know that you guys also have, a usual blog of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. This week, we've talked before about Angela Crane, who's a breeder and dressage rider based in the UK. She has posted a really interesting blog. She has the only licensed KWPN stallion in the UK, which just goes to show the quality of the horses that she breeds. And she talks specifically in her blog this time about jumping horses and the tough criteria that they have to meet in order to be graded with the KWPN studbook, which is the main studbook in Holland. It's well worth reading and seeing how your horses measure up to what they expect of a horse. It's a pretty tall order of what they want to see and how they want the horse to behave and his athletic ability. So do go and have a look at that. Angela, as always, puts things in her own words and includes videos. She's included videos of KWPN assessments of a couple of her jumping horses in there. So it's really interesting and really worth looking at.
And this may be a dumb question. What does KWPN stand for?
I have no idea. It's something in Dutch.
Oh, okay. I was like, should I know what that means? I'm like, Knobstrooper, warm blood, I don't know.
Yeah, KWPN is one of the biggest stud books.
Yeah, and it's actually, it's for the Royal Warm Blood stud book. We actually talked about this on the driving show yesterday, so I'm not extra smart. I just heard it yesterday.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. That's the only reason. It does sound more like a radio station, though, WK.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah,
KWPN. They're very respected, though. They're very, very respected. And their heritage as a stud book and as a keeper of breeding standards goes back a very long way. And they're very trusted for that reason.
And their website, if you want to find it, is at kwpn.org.
Yeah, and now I know we always talk a little bit about horse HRTV because you guys are now on HRTV, but you talked about your video of the week, and I want to hear about your video of the week because I selected a video of the week from you guys, and it is the Indoor Driving Championships video. Oh, my God. This is insanity. These people, these little ponies, Glenn, have you watched this video on horseandcountry.tv?
I have not
videos?
Yet.
Holy cow! They've got
it's
like
great,
ponies in an indoor arena going around at I mean, a dead gallop doing these, I guess you call them obstacle courses. I don't know what they're called. And then they've got helmet cams on some of them. It is thrilling. And they're ponies, and they're so cute. You got to go watch it, Glenn.
All right, I got to check that one out. That sounds like fun. Sounds like fun.
Oh, it's amazing. I'm watching it right now. Sorry. Carry on. So tell us about tell us about HRTV and what's going on with HRTV this week.
Well, with HRTV, as you know, we have several time slots on HRTV where you can watch Horse and Country TV programming. And this week we're showing At Home with Carl Hester and Show Jumping Ireland. So it's interesting what you're saying about getting to know the European riders. Carl Hester is, I would say, arguably the best dressage rider in the UK. He is scoring well over 80% with his current horse, which is a black stallion called Utopia. So it's a great series, and Carl is such a fun, lovely person. And the program follows his life and life on his yard, so you get to learn about his regime for his horses and how he trains them, the staff that work with him, and how well they'll get on. And there's lots of laughs in there, including Carl's talking about his childhood on the island of Sark, where he used to do donkey rides, and he literally used to carry this donkey with a friend of his down a cliff. I kid you not, one of them would take the back end and one of them would take the front end, and that's how they'd get the donkey down to the beach to do donkey rides for people to earn some money.
Okay, I'm going to have to watch that, because that seems a little ridiculous.
It's really good. But if you happen to miss it on HRTV, you will be able to watch it on HRTVlive.com. You just need to go and subscribe.
Okay.
All right, sounds good. Hey, I wanted to ask you before you leave here, do you live in London? You're in London, right?
No, I'm out in the countryside. I don't do
cities.
Yeah,
so
no,
obviously,
I'm about 40 miles out of London.
It's a little scary there right now, and for those that don't follow the news, there's been massive rioting in London and outlying cities around England. It's been a nightmare the last couple of nights, so it must be a little bit scary right now over there.
It is, yeah. It's terribly sad, actually, and watching people's hard-earned businesses go up in flames is just tragic. It is pretty scary, and I'd say, to be honest, the majority of the country are really angry about it. Because this is a real minority causing problems, and it's a minority of kids, really. There are some young people up to around 30, they think, that are taking part in the riots. But it's really sad, and the rioters do not have any sympathy from the general public. If anything, the general public just want the police to go in there and just put a stop to it.
Take care of business, yeah.
Absolutely. But the Prime Minister's come home from his holiday now, and Parliament is reopening on Thursday. To debate the issues and to hopefully pass some emergency laws to deal with the situation.
Yeah, I know Jamie doesn't follow the news too much, but they had 6,000 police last night, and the rioters were still out of control. Burnt down, actually, I saw some of the pictures, the whole blocks of these beautiful old homes and businesses just burnt to the ground. A Sony warehouse that was about a square, the Sony warehouse had to be a square block, a city block. And the whole thing is gone. It was so bad last night that these gangs of teenagers, which is all it basically is, with an excuse to riot, they were making people strip down and they were stealing their clothes. They were making them strip down to naked and stealing their clothes in the street.
It's pretty sick. It's pretty sick. And I mean, you think that they try to come up with excuses about why they're doing it, but fundamentally, they're looting shops that sell trainers and TVs and Game Boys and products that they want. It's nothing to do with anything political.
No.
It's to do with gangs of kids that are going out and stealing and taking part in criminal activity.
No, it's an excuse to riot. And apparently,
exactly.
New media has not helped that, because they're coordinating all of this through Blackberries and Twitter and Facebook. It's all being coordinated, which is bad. And of course, now the stories are coming out. Can England handle having the Olympics there? Is this going to happen during the Olympics? And, you know, just those stories, which we all know, you know, things will be under control. It'll be fine. But
scaremongering. There is a big football match that's been cancelled tomorrow night between England and the Netherlands, just because it's just not worth taking the risk at this particular stage. But there's going to be 16,000 police in the streets in London tonight. So, I mean, that's significantly more than last night, and hopefully they're going to be able to put a stop to it.
Well, good luck with that.
Oh, this is awful.
I know.
I'm looking at it right now on the times.co.uk. Oh, my God, it's just yeah, you're right. It's just a bunch of angry kids that are out there just stealing and looting and rioting for, you know, I can't figure out what for. What is their main cause?
What supposedly started it was there was a guy that was a father of four that was killed by the police, and I never even heard why, and it really doesn't matter. But that was the impetus, supposedly, that started it.
Wow.
But now it's just adding. It's just an excuse to go out and riot every night.
The shootings by the police of what was a known criminal, the police acted totally lawfully. The guy had a replica gun that had been adjusted to be able to take live ammunition on his person that he was waving around. The policeman obviously felt threatened and shot, because otherwise the other guy would have shot him. So, you know, much as no one wants to see any kind of bloodshed in any way, the guy had a gun. He was threatening a policeman. What do you expect?
Yeah.
But that, you know, these riots don't have anything to do with that. These riots are about kids. It's opportune violence, basically, and they're trying to peg it on that. It has nothing to do with that. They're just out of control kids that, you know, frankly, need a good kicking.
Yeah. Well, our thoughts are with you guys over there, and we hope that this gets under control very quickly.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. That's worth it. Go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
Put your feet up. Get a massage. A pregnancy massage. Relax. Hang in there, sister. That thing will be out of you in a couple weeks.
I will, actually. I will keep my feet up. That's good advice.
She is sounding more tired every week we go along here. Have you noticed that?
I know.
She's on the precipice of putting something the size of a watermelon out of the hole the size of a lemon. So I would be a little tired, too.
There's an analogy for you, Katie. Take that and think about the rest of the day.
Thanks for reminding me about that bit.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Bye, Katie. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye, Katie.
Bye. Where'd you come up with that?
I don't know. It's just
somebody
asked.
Tell a woman that's 8 months that's what's going to happen.
Well, you know what? I was with family this whole past week, okay? And we are the only childless couple in the family. So I have had enough time to think about my answers. And the fact that I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, I'd like a kid, but I don't want to push it out of my body. And the whole being pregnant thing seems freaky to me. And so I thought of that. And there you go. I just shared it with Katie.
Your sound is actually starting to go out on us right now. So let's just close the show. Hey, everybody, be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. We will have the recorded version of this available. So if you missed the beginning of the show in about another hour, you'll be able to go back and take a listen to it at horsesinthemorning.com or at our Facebook page. You'll be able to listen to it there, either place. You can also follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. And that's about it. We'll be back again tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Don't forget to get your really bad ads in. You will win this week. The winner will get the first ever, out of the production line, the first ever Horse Radio Network saddle pad with our logo on it. So you're going to want to be the first to win that. Get your really bad ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with really bad ads in the subject line. We're going to be doing that Thursday this week at 10 o'clock, because Friday we're traveling to Philadelphia to be together this weekend and come to you live from Philadelphia on Monday. So that's it, everybody. We'll see you. Jamie, say goodbye.
Spay, neuter, and geld, my friends. Farewell.
All right, wear your helmet, and we'll see you at Peelers.